Let's pray together. Our Father, our God, we love you. We adore you. God, we know that you love us and you adore us. Father, you look at us as your children with compassion and mercy. God, you want the best for us. Sometimes, God, that's hard for us to even understand what is the best. But you know better than we do. And so, God, we come to you, our Savior and our Lord, Lord of this church and Lord of our lives. We come to you. We hand ourselves over to you, God. And we pray that you would work in us in ways that we would never even know or maybe not even see. God, use us as your people. We think, Lord, of the needs among us, and we pray for those, God. We pray for, they are many. Maybe even here, God, there are many, several hurting hearts or hearts that are grieved or maybe even those that just aren't feeling 100%. God, we pray today your blessing upon them. We think of our health needs that we list in the bulletin, God, and we pray for Henry and for Ruth and Herb and Lenore and Lori and Connie and Megan. And God, we lift them to you. And we pray that in each situation, we know that you have a plan and a perfect will. And so we pray, God, that would culminate. We pray for families who are walking with each of these situations, that you would protect them and give them your peace, God. They need your peace. Lord, we think of those who are up on the Quest weekend, and they're just going into their worship time up there now, God, and we pray your blessing upon them as they worship you in that forum, in that area, right in front of the lake. God, we pray that you give Pastor Jeremy your words to speak to them today, and that they would meet you in a real fresh way today, God. We think of the Colorado team that is traveling, and we pray protection on them. And God, as they walk through this next week, we pray that you would use them in a powerful way to minister for your kingdom so that many hearts would come to know you, many lives would be changed and shaped to better see you, God. We pray your blessing on this team. And Father, as a church, it's so good for us to be together. It's so good for us to worship you. It's so good for us, Lord, to exalt you, our Father, on this Father's Day. We exalt you, God, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, I thank you, worship team. That was great. And thank you, guys. That was tremendous. I hope you had fun, because I sure had fun. You would have done, Brian was walking down, he said, you know, we would have done so much better if we had a good director. And that's probably true, but wasn't that, did you enjoy that? What a way to honor you guys. I mean, you know, when I saw you come up here and stand, I actually got tears in my eyes. You outnumbered the ladies, and I thought, you know, we can take them, you know? It's really something. It's great. That's a good sign. It's a good sign, though, a church that has a group of men like that. Isn't that just excellent? Well, I was, last weekend, I was in Florida, and we had meetings down there, and I didn't really tan all that much, so if you're wondering if I was outside most of the time, I was in meetings most of the time, but it's great to be back. While we were there, it rained the majority of time except in the evenings, so it's raining now. I guess I brought this. My family's accusing me of it, so this is what we get. It's good to be home. I got to tell you, I could hardly wait to get back to my family and to my church family. It's great to go to Florida and see what palm trees look like, but it's good to be back here. Well, as we continue to examine the fruit of the Spirit, I'll remind you that the Apostle Paul says that God's Spirit makes us loving, happy, peaceful, which you looked at last week, and patient. I'm going to talk about patience this morning and how fitting, especially on Father's Day, because I don't know about you, but let me tell you, I almost had Pastor Jeremy preach this message last Sunday. But then we've been out of order, and we can't have that as Baptists. We can't be out of order. So we can't get out of order. Patience is not one of my greatest strengths. So I thought, well, you know, it's too bad I hadn't been away this weekend, and then Pastor Jeremy could have preached this message, because, man, I how many of you have a problem with patience? Now, come on. Okay, I tell you what, let's do the altar call now, and we'll all go forward. I heard a cute story the other day. A little boy is in a department store, and he was at the end of an escalator, and he kept watching the railing as it went around. You know, I would do that as a kid. I'd watch the stairs go, and they disappear. You know, ooh, they're gone. You know, it was kind of a neat thing. But so he's standing there, he's watching, and the salesman came over and said, "Hey, son, are you lost? Are you lost, son?" Little guy looks up and says, "No." Okay, and he's still standing there. He's just watching. Okay, son, are you okay, son? Like, is there something I can help you? What are you doing here, son? Why are you standing at the end of the escalators? You sure you're not lost? No, I'm just waiting for my chewing gum to come back. Now, that's being patient, isn't it? Well, patience means endurance. It means tolerance. It means to wait. And I recall vividly a time when my children were much younger and they wanted to play a game of Monopoly. Now, I remind you that they were both young and they were learning and process learning. So we took up the game, we began to play, and I soon realized that this process was going to take time. Explaining the rules, showing them how to move across the board, how to buy properties, what the money was for, you know. And as I waited for my next turn, I turned to Joe and I said, "You realize that we are going to be here all day and all night trying to finish this game." Now, my kids, they became excited. And, "Really? This is an all-day game? Wow, are we going to have fun?" Now, I don't like to wait. That's not my thing. And it's such a difficult hassle for me. But, you know, kids can be patient all the while. Look at us. They got us as parents, you know? This morning, I'm wearing this tie that I'm certain I got from my family for Father's Day. 1 year. Kids, I remember looking at it and thinking, what a beautiful tie. And this morning, my daughter saw me putting on the tie. And she said, "Dad," well, for lack of a better word, "that's a fashion nightmare." And I said, "Sweetheart, this is what you gave me for Father's Day. Dad, I don't care. It just don't look good, you know." And then I came out like this, and she said, "Oh, now that's better, you know." She said, "You hid the eagles, you know." Sometimes that happens where even our children, you know, when they're young, they give you ties that look like this. And then you wear them a little later and they tell you they're the worst thing you've ever seen. But I don't know if I'm the exception, but we need more than ever in our fast-paced, our quick-fix microwave age. We need the spirit of patience in our life. King David knew about this when he inscribed Psalm 62. It's such a wonderful psalm that encourages patience. It contains a very helpful and yet a very simple outline to just guide our thinking with regard to victorious waiting on the Lord. And I think we need more practice times on patience than really lengthy teaching times. So you're probably going, "All right, so he'll be done soon." With patience? Oh, never mind. It's all right. Turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. And I want to dig in here because in order to enjoy the patient peach, you need, first of all, you have to wait for godly direction. Look at this psalm, Psalm 62. Verse 1, "My soul finds rest in God alone." Jump down to verse 5. "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him." The NASB version, New American Standard Version, says, "My soul waits in silence for God only." How many times have you waited in silence? How many of us are silent? I mean, just sitting in the presence of the author of patience. We need to stop not run. We need to stop and just sit. We need to take time to sit and to wait. This is David's declaration. Verse 5 is the command. Only God gives inward peace, and I depend on him, says the Century Version. Only God gives inward peace, and I depend on him. You ever had to talk to yourself? Have you ever, anybody ever had to talk to yourself? I have. It's when I start arguing with myself that becomes the problem, because I'm not sure who's going to win. There have been times that I have grown and developed in my Christian life where I have cried out to God and soul, self, listen. You do what you've been told. You listen to God. You depend on him. And I have to tell you that God is so great, because he does this to me a lot. I thought it was a great message already before I left for Florida on patience. And I get back and I'm sitting in my office, and on Thursday God goes, "Wake up, man. You can't do that. You got to do a different scripture altogether, and you got to preach a different sermon." Wait, God, you don't understand. I'm not a patient man. I know, that's why I'm doing this to you. You know, that's exactly right. God moves us to be patient so that we wait on him. Can I tell you a story? Yeah. You're ready for one, I can tell. It's a wonderful story. You may have heard it before, but it bears repeating. It's great. During the Korean War, some American soldiers rented a house, and they hired a local boy to do their housekeeping, just to do their cooking. And this was very common during the war, and during that particular war. This little fellow that they hired, he was unbelievable. I mean, he had a great attitude all around. I mean, he always smiling. He's always serving. So they thought, well, they'd play one trick after another on him, you know. And they nailed his shoes to the floor. And he'd get up in the morning, and he'd pull those nails out with pliers. He'd slip on the shoes, and he'd maintain his excellent spirit. He'd be bouncing and happy. They put grease on the stove handles, and he'd wipe each one off. And while he'd do it, he'd smile, and he'd sing his way through the day, and he'd polish them. And they balanced buckets of water over the door, and he'd get drenched when he'd walk through. But he'd dry off, and he'd never fuss. Time after time after time, this would go on. Finally, they became so ashamed of themselves, these American soldiers, that they called him in one day, and they said, "You know, we want you to know something. We want you to know that we're never going to trick you again. Your attitude has been outstanding. In fact, your patience has been overwhelming. You've been a real example to us." He said, "You mean no more nail shoes to floor?" They responded, "No more." "You mean no more sticky on stove knobs?" The response, "No more." "You mean no more water buckets on the door?" Again, they said, "No more." "Okay then," he responded with a smile and a shrug. "No more spit and soup." It's easy for us to do that. I mean, we say with our faces that we're waiting, but inside, it's a different story. Forget about yourself, your wants, your desires. Depend on who created you. That's what David's saying. Wait for godly direction. Don't get ahead. Don't fall behind. Wait. And as we continue with our vision as a church, we need this element of waiting. We need patience more than ever when we wait for godly direction. He does. We need godly direction and godly protection more than we've ever needed it before. Wait. Well, to enjoy the patient peace, you have to wait for godly direction. You always trust God. Always trust him. If you look at the second part of verse 1 there, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him." The Message says, "I'll wait as long as he says. Everything I need comes from him." So why not? I'll wait as long as he says. Everything I need comes from him, so why not? Now, isn't that a comfort to know that everything comes from him? Amen? Everything. Okay, so we're to wait on him, we're trusting him to provide our needs. How are you doing at that? How are you at trusting him? We can sit here Sunday after Sunday, moment by moment, and hear it, but we must do it before we can ever know it. A wonderful day for me was November 6, 1990. My son was born. Don't you dare cut that mic. It's working at the back there. He's kind of laughing now and smirking. He's got the power. There was a lot heading up to that day, November 6th. First, my wife is taken by ambulance to a larger hospital, which was an hour away, and I drove madly following in my car. You know, you ever done that white-knuckle driving? This pastor was just moving. I was rev dev that day, I tell you. I was moving. And all the while, I was just praying to God, and tears were coming down my face. And, you know, and I'm crying out to God for his favor upon my wife and upon my unborn child. I'm saying, God, just look after us. And we arrived at the hospital, and she was rushed into the living room, and it's an amazing experience. But the most amazing part of all this was my attempting to find my way around that maze of a huge hospital, asking where my wife was. I mean, when you're concerned and you don't know what's going on in your spouse's life or with your unborn child, you don't know where you're going. I'm going to desk. Well, go to, you know, floor 7 and ask them, you know, where this is, and then you'll get to that. And, you know, I said, just give me a map, point me to the elevator, and let's go. You know, I arrived, and then after the wonderful experience of my almost fainting and my wife consoling me during the labor time, which is true. And you know, it's quite exciting. We're in the delivery room, and there's a nurse with us, one nurse, and you know, my wife did an excellent job. Man, I was screaming more than she was, and the nurse said, she's the only nurse in the room. Oh, it's just about time. You know, I took that as a clue that Nathan was just about to be born, and she said, I'll be right back, and she left, and I was there alone. Now, you talk about learning patience. That was it. If there was ever a moment, it was at that moment. God, what are you doing? And the obstetrician, I don't even know how to say that word. He came in, wonderful guy, and he said, don't worry, we deliver. And Nathan was born, my wonderful child, was my son. And they looked at him, and did you know they rate children? They did. They look at him, and they... Doctor goes, I don't know, and they're talking. You know, the thing's an 8, you know. I said, that's a 10. If I've ever seen a 10, that one's a 10. You know? Yeah, but it wasn't long that we were soon told that he had a hole in his back and a possible condition known as spina bifida. And then they started listing the results of such a condition. And I cannot tell you how my emotion meter ran. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I had prayed all the while I was driving, and I couldn't understand what God was doing. At that point, I hit bottom. Honestly, I didn't know how I could cope with that. A couple of specialists came in. They said they were taking my son for x-rays to determine what the prognosis would be. And I turned to Joan, and I said, I'm going in with him. I wasn't going to let my little guy out of my sight. I wanted more than ever to be with him. So I convinced the technician to let me stand and hold him while they took the x-rays. And once the procedure was finished, then we waited for the results. And during our wait, we talked to God about this, and we committed to wait upon God and to trust him completely. And I don't know how long the time was, but within a moment, it seemed, the pediatrician requested to see us. And he told us, he said, it's amazing. There's a layer of skin in the back of that hole. That indicates that your son is fine. He's just unique. And now my son Nathan calls that his back belly button. You know, it's great. You can actually lift him like this. But isn't that a great story? Just showing the patience of God, how we walk through, we hit rock bottom. God always comes along. It takes time, that period of time, that waiting, that experience is like many that we go through in our life. We wait while we can do absolutely nothing. We reach a point where there is no one but the Lord to turn to. I had to exchange my weakness for God's strength, even though I didn't deserve that exchange. I simply said, "This is impossible, Lord. You do it." And he did. I don't know what you're walking through this morning, but our Lord does. He understands you better than you do. He knows your pain. He knows your hurt. He knows what you're up against, but his strength is available. His power is accessible. Is your assurance resting on him? See, when we trust him to meet our needs, he will. When we trust him to meet our needs, he will. But to enjoy the patient peach, we need to wait for godly direction. We need to always trust God and in stillness listen. I've read that for you already. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. Speak, Lord, in the stillness while I wait on thee. Hush my heart to listen in expectancy, said the hymn writer. It used to be difficult for me. I used to hate that. I managed through the blessing of God to spend quality stillness with him. I realized a while ago I must take time in the morning, and it's amazing. God wakes me up half an hour before the alarm goes off, and that's Joan getting up, by the way. And I spend that wonderful 30 minutes, I just lay there in stillness. And I lay there with my eyes closed, and I just enjoy God. And it's truly a wonderful experience. I ask the Lord, I say, God, just love me. Just fill me. I can't explain it other than this. I know God's presence is real, especially at that moment. I cannot go through my day without that moment, that time, that 30 minutes. Joan said that we should call our bed the Word so that if anybody phones while I'm in bed, she can just say, sorry, Dev's deep into the Word. I love it. Some of the best times in prayer are wordless times. Not speaking, not saying a word, just waiting, just listening. And I got to tell you, I can't describe it, but I encourage you to be patient and try this. Spend time just listening to God. I do this. I do this throughout the day. I'll be reading the Bible or I'll be reading a book, and all of a sudden I'll just close my eyes and I'll just drink this in and I'll just say, God, speak to me about this. And I listen deeply in my heart for reproof, correction. And although it's not an audible voice, I think it's too powerful for me to hear his audible voice. It's a sensing of what God is saying about the situation and about me. And sometimes I don't like what he says down there. But you know, the Lord promised this in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. New Living Translation puts it this way. I will put my laws in their minds so they will understand them, and I will write them on their hearts so they will obey them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Boy, it's great to hear from God. I know it may sound mystical, but it is. I do a lot of weddings. In fact, I had a wedding yesterday. Carla and Joseph got married to Nigel Rawlings. It was a great day. We had a great celebration. It was fun. I love weddings because I always enjoy meeting with couples, and it's so cute to see them in my office. They're bubbly, you know. They don't even see me. I met with one in between this wedding and the reception yesterday. I met with another couple who were planning to get married in July. And I sat down with them and I said, "Hey, what is your greatest mountain that you're climbing right now as a couple?" And they looked at each other and they went, "Our love for one another," you know. That's how they did it, too. I love. I looked at him and I said, "Man, you both love each other that much?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I love her. Love her more. Oh, more each day. Just more and more." They gaze at each other. They're so in love. Isn't that true? The deeper the love, the less that has to be said, Chuck Swindoll said. The deeper the love, the less that has to be said. I caught mid-moment an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond. Anybody watch that show? Anyone admit that you watch that show? All right, I caught it mid-group, and I watched this Deborah, who's Ray's wife. She was so desperate for them to change as a couple because she didn't want them to turn out like his parents. She said, we're going to be your parents, Ray. I don't want to be your parents. And the final scene was Ray's mom, Marie, and Ray's dad, Frank, sitting at the kitchen table having breakfast. They never said a word to each other. But Marie picked up Frank's toast, scraped it a little bit, put some jam on top of it, and Frank took Marie's glass, poured a glass of juice for her. And as the scene ends, Deborah holds Ray gently and looks at him and realizes that there is something about such a deep love. The deeper the love, the less that has to be said. May we venture that deep in our love with our Lord, that we just sit with him, not saying anything. Just sit with him and drink him in and allow him to speak to your very heart in stillness. Be silent and hear from him. To enjoy the patient peach and to wait for godly direction, you can always trust God. In stillness, listen. And fifthly, or finally, you got it. Fourthly, you got to take comfort in the blessing of waiting. Take comfort in the blessing of waiting. Again, look at verse 2. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. I love it. God tells us why we are to wait. Because there's a blessing. There's a blessing. It's so simple, it can be missed. The blessing of waiting. First of all, he is our salvation. That is, he is our only deliverer. He alone is our deliverer. Secondly, he is our only security, our defense. If you look at verse 2, he alone is my rock, my salvation. He's my fortress. I will never be shaken. If you look at verse 7, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock. He is my refuge. My refuge is in God only. Only God. Blessing waiting, he is our only hope. From him comes our hope. What power in these verses of God. And finally, he alone is our glory. He is our glory. You see, why should I wait? Why should I be patient? Because without him, I don't have any of those things. I don't have deliverance. I don't have security. I don't have hope. I don't have any glory. I have nothing without him. I am helpless. You know what I'm learning? Patience is all about trust. As a husband, as a father, as a friend, I need to demonstrate my faith and my trust in God to others through my patient example. Well, now, how appropriate to close with these final words from Isaiah? Put them on the screen. Read these with me. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. Yeah. That's why we're the duck. I don't know how you're running today. I don't know if you're feeling tired. I don't know if you need a fresh strength. But I do know this. Those who wait upon God get this. Get it. I don't want you to just come here and leave going, oh, well, he was done by, you know, he finished on time. And, you know, I want you to leave here saying, man, I need that deeper relationship with God. I need to listen to what's going on inside my heart. I have to hear from him, but I need to spend time listening to him in order to hear from him. Ask the Lord to give you the strength to wait, to endure the lingering test of patience. I tell you, that's a remarkable prayer. Think before you pray it. because it involves a lot for your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Well, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I want to ask you today, maybe you're not a patient person. Maybe you've been marked by impatience more than patience. Maybe people have said to you, you're impatient. Maybe it's so your own kids have said, you know, Dad, you're awfully impatient. Maybe someone has said to you even at work, can't you just wait one moment, please? Can't you wait? Maybe it's your spouse and you've been walking through this whole discussion about patience. Maybe you have, I don't know. But today, I trust you realize that God wants you to wait on Him. When you wait on Him, He gives you the patience. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, and I ask you, coming to God and saying, God, develop me into a patient person. Just lift your hand. Just lift your hand. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. God sees those hands. Maybe you're here today and you've never responded to, you've heard about Jesus Christ and you've heard that He is the only way, and you've never come to Him and said, Lord Jesus, I want you to forgive me. I give you my life today. I want to be in heaven. I want to be a Christian. Maybe you've never said that to Him. But today you can. You can take hold of Him. You can say, God, Jesus, I want you to forgive me. I give you my life. I give you my heart today. Do that. He will call you a Christian. He'll say, you are one of my disciples. Just lift your head if you're saying that to Him today. Lord God, forgive me where I failed you. I give you my heart today. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Just lift your head. Lord bless you. God, I thank you even for the lesson this week of being patient. Lord, it's so hard when we're walking through the developing our lives that you do. You shape us, God, and that development is so hard sometimes. We don't even see, we want to see the outcome, God. We don't want to walk through that process of where you develop us. But God, we thank you for how you develop us. Even as your people, as your church, God, we know that the vision is large here, and we don't know how we can do it, and we're glad that we can't do it because we have to rely on you, God. So we rely on you today. Make us a patient people. Make us patient, God. Make us patient with our families. Make us patient with our fellow workers. Make us patient, God, with our friends. Make us patient. Make us patient, Lord, with even when we're in a store, create within us, Lord, that patience that can only come from you. Because, God, we know that many, many times you're so patient with us. Thank you that you are, God. Thank you that you love us enough that you're patient with us. Father, as we walk through this day, I pray that you'll give a very celebrative time for our fathers. May they feel special today, God. May they know that they are chosen men by you. And may they just rest in you today in stillness and in silence. May they be refreshed, God. May we each be refreshed in you today. In the power of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, the head of this church. In Jesus' name, amen.